Singing this morning. Amen. They put a card back there at the back. Brother Jimmy Hood has been pretty sick lately, so if you'd like to sign that card, we're going to send it up to Brother Jimmy. Try to encourage him just a little bit. Well, if you'll turn this morning to Philemon. That's that little book right after Titus. Timothy, Titus, and Philemon, it's one chapter. We started going through this Wednesday night, teaching through it, but I noticed something that I got a message out of and studying in it, so I want to just go ahead and do that. And Philemon, look at verse number 11. Which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me. Dear Heavenly Father, help us this morning, Lord, as we look at your word. Touch this body, Lord. Give us physical strength. Spiritual understanding to bring about, Lord, what needs to be said today. Touch the hearts as is needed. We'll thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm trying to bring you a message on a profitable Christian. A profitable Christian. Now, if you look down here about verse 18, he says, if he hath wronged thee or owed thee aught, put that on my account. Now, probably Onesimus here, this is about him. Probably Onesimus hadn't been very profitable to Philemon. He was his slave, and he hadn't been profitable to him. He'd probably been unprofitable, and he may have stole some stuff from him. I mean, who knows? And he cut out and took off. But now that he's saved, see, why, he's going to be profitable to him. You can see here at the last where he's talking about, where Paul says, but now profitable to thee and to me. So I want to talk about a profitable Christian. Now, names mean something. And Philemon, name means profitable. And he's going to be profitable here. Onesimus is. I want to think about something to start with here. I'd like you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and turn with me to Luke chapter 19. And Luke, let's look at Luke first, Luke chapter 19. Then we're going to get a verse over here in 2 Corinthians, verse or two in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. But let's look at a parable that the Lord gave here in Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. Okay, look down here, Luke 19. We'll start here about verse number 11. Where he starts this parable. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, now this is Luke 19, look at verse 12. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went unto a far country to receive for himself a kingdom, and to return. And he called his 10 servants, and delivered them 10 pounds, and said to them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him, and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, Well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thy authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, Be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man, thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he said unto him, Out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knowest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then givest not thou money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? And he said unto them that stood by, Take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. Now let's look at this just a little bit. Now this is a parable to a Gentile group of people, several different reasons, because it's talking about the kingdom of God. Another reason is talking about the 10 pounds. If you look at the one over in Matthew chapter 25, which we're not going to do, that's a Jewish one that's dealing with talents. Over there, he gives according to their several ability. Here he gives the same thing to every one of them. Notice that. He calls 10 of them together, and he gives them every one a pound apiece. He gives it to every one of them the very same thing. Now keep your finger there. We're going to be coming back just in a minute. What is it? Look over at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. What is it that God gives to every Christian? He gives every Christian the same thing. Now we're not talking about the gifts that he gives or the callings or anything. We're talking about every Christian receives something from the Lord. Now I'm not talking about salvation. You wouldn't be a Christian until you get that. We're talking about something that you're saved and that God gives to everyone and gives them the same measure of that thing. Amen? Every one of you has got the very same thing that God gave you. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and look down here at verse number 18. 2 Corinthians 5:18, And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and notice, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. He gave the ministry of reconciliation to every Christian. I don't have no more of the gospel of God than you do. Amen. He gave the ministry of reconciliation to every one of us. Now let's go on here in 2 Corinthians. Notice verse 19. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. He gave us the gospel, you see. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So, what he's talking about here is God saved us. He saved us by his death, burial, and resurrection. After that we're saved, he gave us something to do. He gave us the ministry of reconciliation. What we are supposed to do is tell folks about him. Amen. We are his ambassador. He gave us something that we're supposed to give out. And that's the ministry of reconciliation. Why? Because here in verse 9 it says, God was in you reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. He will save them if we'll tell them about Him. Amen. And then they won't have to face their sin and go to hell. Amen. So everybody has got the ministry of reconciliation. Now what you do with it is up to you. Now let's go back to Luke. And we'll see the problem on this thing. This is a parable of when the Lord Jesus Christ here left to go receive a kingdom. He's going to get this kingdom from the Father. Now He left and He went up to glory. And now He's up there making intercessions for you and I. And He's receiving this kingdom. And when He receives this kingdom, one of these days after a while, He's going to come back. And He's going to come back, and He's going to check us here as He does these folks here. And He's going to call us to Himself. And when He calls us to Himself, He's going to ask us what we done with the ministry of reconciliation that He gave us. Amen? He gave us a job to do. He didn't just save you to take you to heaven. Now, thank God, when He saves you, you're going to get to go. But you're supposed to do something down here after He saves you. In other words, you're supposed to work for Him and make Him a prophet. Amen. I don't mean a prophet like a prophet. I mean a prophet like giving Him something back, you see. And so what He does here, in this thing here, He calls three different fellers out of these 10 up there. They send them, but He just calls three and recognizes three of them, thank you, fam. And He just recognizes three of them, you see. And He calls these up, and He calls this first feller up, and He gave them all, see, the same thing. He gave them a pound. He gave them the ministry of reconciliation, and He says, okay, here it is, I'm going away. But I'm going to come back. When I come back, I'm going to see what you've done with what I gave you. Now, this is not going to be no shouting message, folks. So, when He comes back, He's going to see what you done with what He left you to do. Amen. And what these fellas is, you see, if this one guy He calls up, this first one He calls him up, you see, and he says, Lord, he says, I took your pound and I got 10 more pounds out of it. And He says, well done, thy faithful servant. I'm going to put you over 10 cities. That takes you on into millennial, see. This is something that you earn. This is something that you, it's not a gift. Salvation's a gift. This is something that you earn. And He puts him over 10 cities. The next guy comes up and he says, Lord, I took your pound here. And I've made 5 more pounds for you. The Lord says, well done. I'll put you over 5 cities. Now, if this was like, if you go back over to that other parable, the next one would be gaining 2. That's what happens over there, you see. But this is different. And he says, he calls this third guy up. This third guy comes up and he says, Lord, in other words, I was afraid of you. He said, I feared thee because of what you are, an austere man. And he said, I feared you. And so what I done is I kept your pound. Amen. Well, you can't lose the pound that you've got. Amen. But what are you going to do with it? The salvation is here and you've got it. But what are you going to do with it? This guy hid it. He was ashamed of it, basically. He didn't want to use it for anything. He didn't want to tell anybody about it. He didn't want to have it bring some interest. We call it interest. Here it's called usury. The Bible term is usury. Like if you're putting money into something, you know, and you're getting interest. The Bible term is usury, which is the best word for it anyway, because they're using your money to bring interest in. So usury is the right word anyhow. And so this fella here the Lord said you could at least have put it by to where it could have drawn a little bit of usury, and I'd got a little bit out of it. But he didn't, you see. What he done is he just laid it back and hid it. So the question is, what are you producing for the Lord Jesus Christ? You are supposed to be busy for the Lord, not for you. You are supposed to be busy for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen? While you're right here in Luke, flip back there a couple of pages. Back here in Luke 17, notice something. Look here about verse 7. Luke 17, verse 7. But which of you, having a servant plying or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat, and will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and girt thyself, and serve me, till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I thought not. Listen to verse 10. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all these things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. If all you do is go through this Christian life, reading your Bible, praying, coming to church, raising your family, living right, and staying out of trouble, you're still an unprofitable servant unto the Lord. You haven't done anything extra. That's what this is talking about, folks. This is talking about the servant that you have. When he comes in, what are you going to say? Sit down over here. I'll take care of you. No. You're going to say, go ahead and finish your job, buddy. Do what you're supposed to do. And when he finishes his job, you're going to say, well done, fella. You done a good job. No. He done what he was supposed to do. He didn't do nothing extra. He just done just what he was supposed to do. You know all the things that you're supposed to do. But if that's all you do, according to that, you're still unprofitable. Now, what does that mean, unprofitable? That means you haven't made your Heavenly Father any profit. If all you do actually is produce one more Christian, you're still not profitable because all you've done then is replace yourself. It's a hard message, folks. I've been studying on this thing a while. But now listen. All you've done is replace yourself. You've not still made God any profit. Amen. To make Him some profit, you're going to have to at least produce two. Amen. We're talking about being a profitable servant. Now, the reason we know that this parable here in Luke 19 is to Gentile believers and to the church, basically, is because down here at the bottom, this guy that didn't do anything, all he done is lost his reward. Over in Matthew, the guy gets kicked into hell in that one. This fella here, all he does is lose his reward. He still gets to go into heaven, but he lost his reward. So what we're dealing with here is we're dealing with a church age parable here. We're dealing with something that's dealing and talking directly and straight to us and showing us what we need to be doing. Amen. Now, look back down here at this parable again. Let's notice just a few things. When he starts down through here in verse 12, he talks about this certain nobleman. That'd be the Lord Jesus Christ. And he leaves and he comes back. He calls his 10 servants. Notice what he tells them in verse 13. He said, occupy till I come. Occupy. Now, it's not too hard to realize what these words mean. occupy don't just mean that you're taking up space. Amen. What this actually means is, if you look right up here in the last part of verse number 15, that he might know how much every man hath gained by trading. By trading. Occupy means buying, selling, and trading. See, the bunch of reprobates today, when they talk about Occupy Wall Street, where do you think they get all that stuff at? They get it out of a King James Bible when they don't even realize it. Occupy means trading. That means doing something. That means your business. Your business that you're doing for the Lord. You're making Him something. You're gaining something for Him, you see. You're buying cheap and selling high. Amen. I realize all that stuff is not too easy to do. Most of my trading, you know, I lose money. But on this kind of deal right here, he's dealing here with, you're supposed to be gaining something for Him, you see. So what you're doing then, is you're putting out the gospel in any way that you can put it out. Now I realize here that you're going to gain a little bit, somewhat anyway, because if you put some tracts out, and you put some money into some missionaries, and you take care of even me, your pastor, you know, and I'm out and the souls that I win, you're still going to get some credit on that. I understand that. But still yet, you as an individual is supposed to be trying to win somebody to the Lord. Now, you can't save them, I know that. But you can tell them about the Lord. You can invite them to church. You can present the gospel to them. Amen. You're supposed to be busy for the Lord. Amen. Now this last feller here, you know, he said, his problem was, he said, I feared thee, in verse 21. Now, there's nothing wrong with fearing the Lord. The only thing was that he had the wrong type of fear. See, he talked about an austere man, he says you are. Now, what that means severe, harsh, stern, or hard. He looked at the Lord there, his master, and he says he's a very stern man. He's harsh. He's a hard man. But he's not. He's just stern in what he wants done. He's plain and straightforward. In other words, when he's telling us something, it's up or down, black or white, good or bad. It's not no gray areas or nothing in between. That's why the King James Bible bothers folks, because it tells it like it is. It tells the bad on David and all of them back over there, just like it tells their good. Amen. It don't leave nothing out. And that's the way the Lord is. When He's dealing with us, He deals with us straightforward, just like it is. I mean, right straight down the gun barrel. Amen. That's what you should want. That's what we get. And this feller here, you know, and so what the Lord says on this thing is, He says, okay, if that's what you say. He didn't say anything against what the guy said. In other words, okay, you're telling the truth. So what I'm going to do then, I'm going to judge you out of your own mouth. That's what he done. He judged him right out of his own mouth. That's the same thing he done to several over in the Bible. He judged David out of his own mouth. You remember that story, don't you? David, you know, said he's going to pay fourfold. God said, okay. That's what we'll do then. We'll let you pay fourfold because you're the man. David said, oh me. And he paid fourfold. Amen. That's the way God does things. Amen. Over in Matthew 12 and verse 37 it says, for by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Amen. So just like he says right here, where he's dealing with this thing here in verse 22, He said, and he said unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knowest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. But still yet, even that be the case, I gave you a job to do. And that's what you're supposed to do, is get on the job. So are we on the job? Amen. Are you on the job? He's telling Philemon there, he said, look, he's going to be profitable for thee now. Because he's profitable to me. And so after you get saved, you're supposed to be profitable unto your master. You're supposed to bring forth some profit. So are we profitable Christians or are we unprofitable Christians? Very important, you see. A profitable Christian, bringing about some profit unto the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, I want to give you a few verses here. There's some hard verses in this Bible, brother. I mean, there's some verses in here that if I was writing the Bible, I'd be like them other fellers. I'd take them out too. Amen? But I know better. I know they're there and they're supposed to be there. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul is saying this in verse 16. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is upon me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. Now he says here, verse 16, he says, okay, I'm supposed to preach the gospel. And I get out here and I preach the gospel, I ain't got a thing to brag about. Because why? Because God laid his hand on me and told me to go out there and preach the gospel. So that's what I'm supposed to do. He said, but I can do that thing willingly or I can do it against my will. But I've still got to do it because God told me to do it. But he said, now I can do it willingly and get a reward. Amen. Or I can go out here and, you know, boy, I've got to go preach. Man, I hate to, but I've got to go preach. And yet, we'll take this on down to you. Well, I've got to go witness. God told me to go give that guy a track. Man, I dread it, but I got to go give him a track. Or you can say, praise the Lord. There's somebody I can give a track to. What's it going to be? Is it going to be willingly? Or is it going to be against your own will? Amen? We're talking about profit or unprofit. Amen. Now there's another way that you can be profitable to the Lord. You can suffer for Him. If you suffer for Him, you're going to reign with Him, according to the Bible. So you can suffer for the Lord. Now, I don't mean, you know, that you, some suffering that's automatic that you're going to have anyway on account of your flesh. I mean, we're going to have suffering like that anyhow because we are flesh. We're going to go through suffering. We're going to go through suffering from people just because standing for the Lord. But if you stand for the Lord and somebody ridicules you and stuff like that, now that's a different kind of suffering. So there you're suffering more for the Lord, you see. Why? Because you're doing right and you're doing something. Paul's in jail not because he broke any laws. He's in jail because he was preaching the gospel. Amen. So if you get out here and you're telling somebody about the Lord and you're doing this thing, even if they don't get saved, amen, and you get ridiculed for it, then you can be profitable. We're talking about a profitable servant. You want to be a profitable servant, don't you? You want to bring the Lord some profit in what He's invested in. Hey, He invested a lot in you. When you're bought with that tremendous price, that was shed on Calvary's cross for you, that's a big investment, brother and sister. Amen. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. And that price is tremendous. And when that price is paid, brother, there's a lot invested. And we need to try to bring some profit unto the Lord. Amen. Profit. We need to be a profitable Christian. And that's what he says over here in dealing with this here over in Philemon. Which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me. In other words, not just profitable to himself, but to somebody else. Onesimus gained a whole lot when he got saved. When you got saved, you gained a lot. It brought a lot of profit to you. Every one of us, when we got saved, I mean, we became a whole lot better. We became a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away, and all things become new. We gained a lot. I mean, it was a real blessing and a profit to us. Amen. Because we were headed to hell. And so, it's a real profit to us when we got saved. But after we're saved now, we are supposed to be a profit to the one that saved us. We're supposed to bring him profit. Make something for him. So what are you going to do with the ministry of reconciliation? Amen? You was given the ministry of reconciliation because now you are an ambassador of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. An ambassador is someone that's in another country representing another country. And that's what we are. We are ambassadors. We are in this country here, and we are representing heaven, another country. Because this is not our home. We are just passing through. And we are representing a king of another country. Amen. I know right now he's our Savior, but he's a king, and he's coming back with a kingdom. And that's what that's talking about over there. He's coming back with a kingdom. But when he comes back with that kingdom, you can go on down to that last verse that I didn't read, verse 27, and you'll see that them folks there is the ones that didn't want him back over at it, and them's the ones that's going to get kicked out. But the other ones that he's dealing with here is dealing with the judgment seat of Christ. When he comes back and calls us forward to stand and give an account of what we've done with the ministry of reconciliation. Amen? It's a good question. What are you doing with what you've got? Are you using it to upbuild God's kingdom? All of us praise, you know, Lord, let everything we do be to upbuild your kingdom. We pray that and we basically mean that. But what are we doing about it? I mean, put some, you know, words on your prayers. Not just words, but some movement. Some legs and some arms. Doing some things. Amen? We're fixing to try to have a revival here in 2 or 3 weeks. We got to get some flyers made, but we're having a revival here in 2 or 3 weeks. And get out and invite some folks. Not just a revival, but any service. Amen. Get them out here at God's house where they might get saved. Tell them about the Lord that they might get saved. Give them some tracts that they might get saved. We're about to run out too. We're fixing to order some. Amen. Get them things out. Tell folks about the Lord. Use the ministry of reconciliation that you have been given. If you're saved, you have been given the ministry of reconciliation. You might say, well, I just don't know how to witness. Paul, 5 times he was brought before someone. That's in Scripture, probably a whole lot of times. But they just 5 of them wrote down. 3 of them times, he told about his salvation. 3 out of 5, he told about his salvation, he told how he got saved. You can tell that. You can say, I know one that saved me, and if he saved me, he can save you. You can tell that, can't you? The ministry of reconciliation. Are you a profitable Christian to the Lord? Are you bringing Him profit? Would you bow your head while we get a song? Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that You'll take this message and use it for Your honor and glory. I believe, Lord, within myself that we've got probably the best people that's trying to live for You anywhere in the county. But Lord, all of us needs to do better and do more. And the reason, Lord, that I tell these folks these things is because I love them and want them to be a better Christian. You give me the ministry of reconciliation and also the call to preach. And I do this willingly, Lord, because I love You. I pray, dear Lord, that You will touch hearts today. Whatever is needed, Lord, I pray it'll be met. Help each one, Lord, to draw closer to You, to do more for You, not be afraid, but to stand and proclaim the gospel. Lord, also, if there's one here that's lost, I pray they'll realize that, trust You as their Savior today, and we'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. You need to come and pray about anything? Well, you come while we sing, would you? 357. Song for that, my heart right with God, right in the sight of God. Good question about ourselves, isn't it? I don't mean just in salvation, I mean right with God, in doing what God would have us to be. I know we all fail, I understand that, but that's no excuse to fail some more. Amen. So I mean try harder. Amen, amen. All right.